Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Luke, drag it out, Olsen, to end the inning. I have seen it all. This guy's pitched four innings the entire season. He's out there like Sandy Koufax. No score in Hot Town after one. The Braves have to win, and the Mets were plus 250. At one point, it was minus 490. They thought Sale was going to go. No score early in Atlanta. All right, a double dip on Monday night football tonight. Two games. Don't forget to get the Sports Grid app. You're going to need it. It's on iOS and Android. It's free. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. You can watch the network, listen to the network, get all the odds, all the stories, highlights, videos, you name it. It's on the Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. A twin bill tonight again in the NFL, Carver High. I just think they should do this every single week. I don't know what they're thinking. I wonder if they're having these conversations on Park Avenue. Like, this is really working well. Why don't we just do it every week?
I agree. I enjoy it, and I think that they should do it every week, and I hope that they are having those discussions on Park Avenue to make this an official thing. This is the second or third year in a row they've done it, only for a few weeks, and it works nice. So the first game tonight will be in Miami, where the Dolphins, of course, are sitting at 1-2. They still have no Tua. They are going to switch, though, Scotty, to Tyler Snoop Huntley tonight at quarterback, who they got from the Ravens about a week and a half ago to try to get them some wins. Now, Tennessee is awful. They are 0-3. Will Levis has looked pathetic, but it was a Monday night game here a year ago in last season where the Titans ended up with a huge fourth quarter rally that ended up beating the Fish. Let's start with McDaniel. Here he is, I guess, being excited as much as you can expect Mike McDaniel to be about Snoop Huntley starting tonight.
Snoop has started multiple and many big games. And when as a quarterback, understanding exactly what it, you know, is required to win over teammates, to take the place of somebody else
in New Jersey and is delicious. Able to, you can drink it right out of the glass.
Assert their own personality, their own skill set,
what
their own traits
here
within the offense, and
what
lead people.
Shut up. That was the worst thing I've seen in at least 15 days. That right
He's
there was number
much.
One. It moved right. You know how Alabama went from four to number one in like a burp? That was Mike McDaniel going from number 15 days ago, the worst thing I've heard in 15 days, right to the top of the charts. I mean, he's like a hit song with that line of bullshack he just tried to feed us about Snoop Huntley has played in tons of big games. Just stop. Stop yourself. Snoop Huntley has never mattered, ever. Not once. Stop.
Stop Titans it. Coach.
Stop it.
Titans coach Brian Callahan. He's hoping that a little primetime Monday Night Football can turn his Titan team around. Of course, they won here, as I just said, last year on Monday night. Callahan's hoping that it can get them charged up.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that you can pull from. I think more importantly, to just see him go perform on a big stage, you know, and down two scores at the end of the game to be able to rally a comeback and find a way to win a game. And that's where we're at right now. We've got to find a way to win a game. We've been in pretty good position in two of them and haven't found ways to win. And that's part of the reason why we sit where we are. And we have to, you know, draw on some of those experiences for Will, what it feels like to go rally a team back and find ways to make a couple plays in the fourth quarter, which, again, it's not something we've done well enough yet. Haven't scored in the fourth quarter you're not going to win a lot of games and drawing back on that experience and that energy and that emotion of being on a primetime stage and playing at a really high level. To win a game in the fourth quarter, we got to have that again.
Oh, stop. Oh, yeah, honestly, yeah, again, yeah, this guy just moved to number quarter. Two in the charts with lines of a bull shack. Here's the deal. The only way this team's going to win, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm telling you, the only way they win is if they go with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There is only one way. When you need a win in the NFL, and the Steelers will tell you what happens, when you put in Mason, no, I don't want his autograph, Rudolph. It is automatic. He gets the win. Did he not win out last year to get the Steelers to the playoffs? Did he not win out? Did he not go to Buffalo and win? Did he not win out? Meanwhile, they keep starting this hack-ass Will Levis, who's eating mayonnaise. He sucks so bad. He is awful. They need to go with the reindeer. That's all there is to it. You've got to turn to the reindeer.
Got to go to the reindeer. Rudolph the reindeer. Maybe they will tonight if things get off to a slow start in Miami. The Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites this evening now. This total was at 37 early in the day. It's up to 37.5. I did have a great stat for you that unders are 32-11-1 in games with totals of 37 or less since 2020. That's a 74% hit rate. But now that it's gone to 37.5, Scotty, that don't matter anymore. I like the Dolphins tonight. I think the Titans suck. There you go.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think that the Dolphins will win the game at Hard Rock, and I think they will score, and I think Snoop will score. I think they will win the game easily.
The second game, or the one that starts a little bit after, they're really kind of in the same time. Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions have the Seahawks, undefeated Seahawks. They're 3-0 going into this game tonight in Detroit, and they won there the last couple of years. Here's Campbell, clearly too much caffeine this week for Dan, just focusing on this week. One thing at a time. One. Here's Dan.
Matter of fact, I told the team everything's about one this week. It's about one, and that's, you know, that's today, one day. It's about one rep. It's one week. It's one game. It's one win, and just focus on that. And I think we got to get back to honing our craft a little bit. You know, we're going to do some one-on-ones and pat them up early
craft.
And then take them off, but just so we get back in the, you know, you start getting in a game plan 4 weeks, and you start focusing so much on the plan, sometimes you forget about your fundamentals. You don't mean to. It just kind of – so this is a way to refocus ourselves, get back to the craft of what we do, the one-on-ones,
sure
running
salty.
Routes, covering
salty,
one-on-one pass sure. pro and protection up yeah, front geez. And with the backs, tight ends, all of that. So
all right, Dan.
That's the focus.
All right, Dan. Enough.
Listen,
all right, Dan.
I want nothing more than to see the Seahawks. They beat them 6 straight times. Is that about right? 6 straight.
Yeah.
And I want to see Seattle go in there and beat them. And I listen, let's just get down to it. I took the points. I got 4.5, and I'm on Seattle. I want them to go in there and beat them more than anything in the world. I told you before, this team has been gifted the Super Bowl this year by everyone and their brother, that they're going to be in the NFC title game, and they're going to get revenge on the 49ers for choking last year in the same said game. And I'm just not buying it. No one ever recovers from a choke that magnificent. They never do. They never recover. And they all think, oh, we'll be back. Don't worry about it. We're going right back to where we were. No, you aren't. And the best way for that not to come to fruition is watching them lose tonight. Let's just go one step at a time, just like Dan said. Can we just go 1 week at a time with them failing? And this guy is always telling me, we got to get back to our roots. We got to get back to focusing. We got to take one snap at a time and do a, you know, whatever. I want to see them lose. Okay, I'm done with this magic carpet ride with the Lions where everyone thinks they're this great football team that can't be beaten. You know, there's no one safe in the NFL from losses. No one is safe. No one, not any team ever, is safe from it. It is right around the corner doing push-ups. Failure in the NFL. Trust me, you think you have it all figured out, and the next thing you know, you're not even in the playoffs.
That's how it goes. 4.5, you already said the number. The total's 46.5, which I actually like. I like the over tonight. They've played some wild games the past few years. The one thing I will give you love numbers. Jared Goff is 8-0 straight up at 7-1 against the spread at home in prime time. I think we did those when they played the Rams the first week of the season as well. Hey, could be, how about going to 8-1 straight up with losing to the Seahawks tonight? It's possible. Why not? 8-1 straight up.
I don't care about the past. I care about tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so we got a lot happening here. We talked about Goff's 8-0 straight up, 7-1 against the spread at home in prime time. We'll see. What I want to know is, more importantly, not about the past and all the glory. What I want to know about is Carver High tutties.
Yes, it is tutty time, as we just missed a homer with Soler by about one brick. He hit it about to right field. I think if he was a brick higher, we would have got a homer with Soler there. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. All right, here's the tutties for tonight. Not going to lie to you, I went a little crazy tonight because I didn't have a great Sunday, so I'm looking to fire it up tonight, Scotty. Let's go. Tyreek Hill plus 180. This is a guy you're normally getting in the 110, 115 range. I'm getting 180 tonight. I think Huntley's a lot better than the Skylar Thompsons of the world, the Tim Boyles that they had been throwing out there. We can get Reek in the end zone at plus 180. Calvin Ridley on the other side, plus 300. He's played well. The Titans suck, but Ridley's been pretty good. So plus 300 for him to score. Here, what has Will Levis been doing, Scotty? This is like a Happy Meal bet here. He's been giving up not just turnovers, defensive touchdowns. Feels like this guy gives up one every week. Plus 950 for the Miami defense tonight. First tutty in that game. I'm going with Achan. It's the chalkier pick. I don't care. Plus 430 for him to get in the mix. Second game, Jameson Williams at plus 220. DK Metcalf at plus 180. And St. Brown for first touchdown at 9-1. And if you want to go Seattle flavor for first touchdown, Scotty, Metcalf 11-1. I'll go double dip there with you if you want on Metcalf. I'll go first tutty Metcalf anytime Metcalf if you want to go for a Seattle flavor.
Yeah, I love that. Metcalf first tutty at 11-1. That's crazy. I like the Amon-Ra at first tutty for Detroit. I like Whiskey Williams plus 220. I like that pick. We'll see about A-Chain. We'll see if he gets it done. Fair enough. I love the Miami defense study because it's like Levis is just a turnover machine and a failure machine. And I always obviously like Reek. So I'm with you on the tutties. No problem there. Let's go.
No problem indeed for all of that. All right, next, let's get some of this college football stuff done. And by the way, Braves are up 1-0. Yeah. As they just got a run in, I saw Soler come around. So 1-0, bottom of the second, they have the lead in that one. All right, college football, of course, game of the year you're talking about. How about Alabama and Georgia on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, Scotty? What a game. Alabama comes out and absolutely blitzes them in the first half. Georgia chips away, chips away, chips away, takes the lead in the late in the fourth quarter, and then Alabama gets the ball right back, Scotty, and you know I had to go find Chris Stewart, who was on with you on or at the end of last week before the game. So here's Chris Stewart on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. This is the Ryan Williams 75-yard touchdown catch to put them back on top after Georgia took the lead.
Snap going to Milroe, looking deep downfield, looking for Williams, comes back, makes the catch, trying to split defenders, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, 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 Ryan Williams, one play, 75 yards, 4 + 2 = 6, and Alabama regains the lead.
What a call by Chris Stewart. On that, Williams, 75-yard of the pirouette, 360 spin down the sideline. Incredible. I think what's more incredible to me, Mike, is that Georgia came back from down 30-7 to take the lead. You know, that was amazing that they came all the way back. You talk about not giving up. And then, you know, Alabama had to pull that play off the very next play to make it happen and win the game. And I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised. Like, you're up 30-7. You blow the lead at home at Bryant Denny. Then you win it on a miracle play. Let's face facts. And then you get rewarded by moving up four spots to number one in the nation. Now, remember, Georgia won a game 13-12, and they were punished for it and fell from 1-2. Then Texas wins the game, but I guess by not enough points, they won again. Arch Manning had another big game, and they're punished for winning. And then you win and jump four spots when you blew a 30-7 lead, and they're number one now because they somehow found a way to win after they blew that lead. I don't agree with them going four spots to number one at all. That shows me how stupid that poll is that they come out with every week. I got to be honest with you. I mean, what I saw was a team up 30-7, thought they had it in the bag, let Georgia come all the way back and take the lead, and then they had to pull one out of their tuchus to win it. So I don't know why they jumped Texas for my money. I just don't see it. Now, I could see them being number two, I guess, but why did they go to number one? Because they won a game that they blew? I mean, they were up 30-7 and blew the lead. Like, what was so impressive about it? You cannot blow a 30-7 lead and get rewarded for it. Meanwhile, these other two teams, they won the games and were both dropped in the ratings. They won and they were still punished. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I mean, fair enough. They got there because they beat Georgia, right? Well, they just told us 2 weeks before that Georgia sucks, right? Because Georgia barely won. Those people make no sense to me whatsoever with how they see football. I really don't. You cannot be punished for winning.
You shouldn't be. And that Georgia game there, they barely beat Kentucky. Suddenly that doesn't look as bad anymore after Kentucky beat Ole Miss on Saturday. So suddenly that win by Georgia on the road in Lexington, I think, has a little bit more weight, or is going to have a little bit more weight as we move along.
So you think they should jump Ohio State and Texas and everybody and go to number one because they won a game that they blew a 30-point lead?
I think that what the people that vote in that poll look at is that they won a top five game. Texas has not, you know, they didn't win a top five game this week. Georgia didn't win a top game. Alabama beat another team in the top five, so they reward them by putting them to the top of the ladder.
No, it's because they have to have Alabama or Georgia number one every year, always. That's why they get it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listen, Mike, I don't dispute that Alabama's good. That's not the question here. I don't dispute that they're, you know, a top-ranked team, top-five team, number four, number one. It's neither here nor there to me. I don't understand how you're punished for winning. I really don't. This is, you know,
right.
To me, it's all about winning. Winning now, nowadays, winning means nothing. It's how much you win by. You have to win big to not be shifted in the polls. Meanwhile, they won on a last play touchdown. You know, 75-yard touchdown, right? But they were up 30-7. Now you blow that lead. What about that? That you're gonna downgrade teams that win based on winning by one, or and then Texas is downgraded and leaped by Alabama for winning. They didn't win by enough. But what do you get for blowing a 30-7 lead? A ham sandwich? Do you get some popcorn? Maybe a hooker? I don't get. You're rewarded for blowing a lead. When you're up 30-7, you should win, you know, 40-14 or something. When you blow that lead, that's not involved in this. You're just rewarded that you somehow found a way to win. You pulled it out of your arse and you're rewarded. That's my problem with it. My problem right there is they blew that huge lead. It's like the Vikings yesterday. You're up 28-0 and then you win 31-29. Christ, what do we get on the flight home? Champagne? They blew the lead. Like, they almost lost the game. How about Baltimore and Dallas? They were up 28-6. And what'd they win? 28-25. What are you going to have? Some blow after the game? I don't understand how you're rewarded for blowing a huge lead and then you somehow win the game and everybody acts like you're some badass. I mean, honestly.
Well, that's what is so much better about the NFL than college football. Obviously, you know, you're just judged by wins and losses. You're not judged by, 65 writers across the country that put their votes in. But we say it all the time. The AP poll is meaningless now. All that matters is when those 12 people get together for the crack, crab, and lobster for the college football playoff.
Losers.
They're the ones that were correct. I mean, listen, I don't like them either, but they're the ones who, and it's people making the decision, not the teams on the field. But I guess they felt Texas didn't win by enough, right? They were 35-point favorites, and they only won by 20, right? They didn't beat up on Mississippi State enough in that game. And I guess they didn't look good enough, so they fall down. We'll give you that in a moment. Miami on Friday night, 38-34. Give me your thoughts on that final second Hail Mary, the craziness. Now, there's two things here. One, I'm stunned that they even called it a touchdown to begin with. Two, I'm stunned they reverse it because you never see them say there was enough evidence to change it. And three, the whole thing was bonkers how long it took. I'm glad they took so long to get it right. It felt like 20 minutes they were looking at it.
Yeah, I don't actually think they got it right. I think they gave Miami to win. They said a guy was out of bounds, touched the ball, that nullified the play. No one ever saw that. No one ever watching with the naked eye ever saw some guy touch it out of bounds. All I saw was a bunch of guys had that ball in their onions, laying on their butts. Everyone was, falling, cascading to the ground. They were all on the ground. It was like a bed of bodies, right? There was literally a mattress of bodies on the ground. And I don't think the ball ever touched the ground, but I think it rolled around on about three or four different guys. So I never knew who had it. But I'll admit, as a Canes fan, I will admit that they got real lucky with that call. And I think that the coach for Virginia Tech, I think he said it best. I sure hope they got it right because, that was all he said. I sure hope they got it right because, we got screwed. They got screwed. All those kids got screwed. All those players, coaches, broadcast, everyone that was doing the Virginia Tech side, they played a great game. They played a vicious game. They led by double digits three times in the second half. They led by double digits at the start of the fourth quarter. And somehow they gift wrapped that game to the Miami Hurricanes in Miami at home at Hard Rock. I thought it was a terrible call. I think that what they said on the field should have stood. The guy caught it. If he caught it, it's a Vatek touchdown, and they should have won. As a Canes fan, I'm saying this, that they got real lucky with that call, and I thought it was bullshack. I thought the whole thing was bullshack. I cannot believe that Miami won that game because they didn't. They did not win that game, but they somehow did, and now they're 5-0, and now they're going to Berkeley.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Coach Young joins us, our basketball insider on SportsGrid and on Coast to Coast. And we got a lot to talk about. So, Saturday, I'm going to play ball. At 6 in the morning, I'm driving. I got my phone on in the little, charger holster. It holds it up, in the air. So I'm driving, I can look at it. And I'm driving along, and I look, and I thought I was seeing things because I'm barely awake. I'm going to play ball. I can barely see straight. I've had, no sleep. I'm like, what am I doing playing basketball at 6 in the morning? And I look, and it's Cat Towns to the Knicks. I was like, ooh, ooh. You would have thought a deer jumped in front of my car. I was sideways. Cat Towns to the Knicks. And I'm like, for who? And I'm like, Randall and Dante, the Inferno. I couldn't believe it. I almost crashed my car. I got to the gym and everyone was talking about it. Cat Towns to the Knicks. the jersey product comes home, Coach.
Yes, the jersey product comes home. And to me, I don't care what anybody says. This is a home run for the Knicks. And it's a home run for Knicks for a couple of reasons. Number one, Cat, look at his stats when he, before Rudy Gobert got there, right? Pharrell, this guy was a 25-10 guy, 25-12 every night. So don't tell me that he's not rebounding, he's not rugging up to defend. But the biggest thing is his ability to stretch the floor. You have one of the best pick and roll guys in Brunson. Now you can run pick and roll, or you can run pick and pop. And if you're on pick and pop, now you have OG, Bridges, and Cat. So now the floor is spread. So Brunson's got driving lanes. Josh Hart's got driving lanes. It sets them up. Also, for a couple of things. Number one, I don't think people understand. Cat's a better five than he is a four, right? OG's a better four than he's a three. Bridges is a better three than he is a two. They line up into their spots that's best for them. I thought it was a little much. And the last thing is, the Bulls are not going to stick. Listen, I love Julius Randle. You do too. But you know, when it gets to Randle, that ball ain't moving anymore. It's going to be more free-flowing offense, which I think, Pharrell, may make them harder to guard.
I mean, I agree with all that. I never thought Randle could get him over the top. Like, I always thought, you know, he was really good, but he wasn't the piece that could get him over the top. And then when they got the Villanova team, essentially, I thought they got a lot better. And then when they got Bridges, I'm like, they just got better. And then when they got this guy, I'm like, they actually got better by subtracting the guy that was good but never great. He was really good for the Knicks, right? But he was never great. He's there the whole time. He never made him over the top good ever. And I think that now they have a team with a guy that can actually get him to the Eastern Conference Finals at the very least. I think that's, you know, something that really we haven't seen around here in a long time.
No, we haven't seen it since 99 when they went to the NBA Finals. Remember when they were that 8 seed and they lost Ewing and they lost to Tim Duncan as a rookie. So to me, this is the best Knicks team since the 90s. Like, let's be honest. And here's the thing. When they made all these moves, Pharrell, I think they looked right at Boston. It says, how can we compete with them, right? So now you have OG and Bridges, two premier lockdown defenders, and they got length that can now match up with Tatum and Brown. But where did the Celtics have an edge? Out of all places, it was Porzingis, because the Knicks couldn't go out and guard him, and it was easy to guard Mitch at the basket. Now you have a guy that can stretch the floor, I would say a better version than KP. It's a really, really good move. But I also think, Pharrell, I also think the Knicks are a lot higher on Deuce, and they're a lot higher on Kolek. I think they're going to be having that backcourt. I loved Kolek. You did two out of Marquette. He's a tough lefty guard. And Deuce made strides in the playoffs, which I think, at the end of the day, made DiVincenzo expendable.
I think they have a really good team now. Let's see if they can put it all together. On paper, they look fantastic. I want to see what they look like on the floor, night to night, week to week, month to month. It's no joke, the grind. Let's talk about the WNBA. Before it started, you knew I had talked about Connecticut's defense would be the difference against the Fever. I said they just are too good defensively. They did it again last night in the semis against the Lynx. They won that game, in my opinion, with defense. And, they made, I thought, the Lynx best players take bad shots. And then the Liberty handled the Aces in game one in no sleep till. And they're both up one. And I think at the end of the day, I'm still on both of them to move to the finals.
You know, with the Connecticut Sun, the under was the play. It was obvious because you have two arguably the best defensive teams in the sport. And now I think the over-under is like a 140-something, I think, for game number two. Alyssa Thomas, to me, was the key factor, Pharrell, because not only was she diming and rebounding, she was scoring. And that's a level where Alyssa Thomas, when she can turn it on offensively, Pharrell, they are going to be good. Also, Scotty, shooting 41% from three. This is the worst three-point shooting team in the league. I do think it's going to be interesting in game number two. In regards to the Liberty, Pharrell, we've been waiting for Breanna Stewart to have that big moment versus the Aces. And she did. And she was dynamic. But you have to also talk about the play of Jonquel Jones, who is a matchup nightmare for the Aces. What do you do? Do you put Kia Stokes on her? Do you put Gustafson on her? Do you put Asia Wilson on her? If Jonquel could be that double-double machine with, obviously, Stewie, with Inescu, who hits big shots, and don't sleep on the five-inch kid, the kid from Germany that's in the starting lineup by Sandy Bordello. They looked really good and looked last night why they should win the WNBA title.
So, yeah, Stewie had 34. Jones had 13 and 12, and Inescu had 21. And almost, like, literally everyone except, I guess, Lainey Hamilton, everyone but her had a three or more. I mean, like, they hit a couple of them. Like, Inescu hit three of them. Jones hit one. Stewie and Fibic had two each. They were all hitting their shots. What are your plays for game twos in this that are coming up? I know you got some bets for those.
Well, I'm going right back to Double J. Jonquel Jones to get a double-double and minus 110. It was plus 125, Pharrell, for game number one. Simply put, she's a monster, and she will control the boards. It's about can Jonquel get enough touches? I think she will. She's put up monster games versus team in the past. Jonquel Jones, double-double, minus 110 on FanDuel.
And what else? You have a couple other plays.
Yeah, Leona Fajovic in the starting lineup, her prop, I think it's over 8.5 points. Listen, if you are Becky Hammond, you're not going to let Stewie go off. You're going to try and look around and say, who am I going to make me make shots? Leona is the key here. She's been really good in the starting lineup. I think she had 6 points last game. I think she gets over that hump. Leona Fajovic, over 8.5 points.
And then finally, in the Connecticut Lynx game, you got to play here.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great series. I think it was a bad start for the Lynx and an even worse finish. You take away those first and fourth quarters, they completely outplayed Connecticut. I think they play better. They play better defense. Give me the Minnesota Lynx minus 5. They tie the series up at one game apiece.
Wow, that's interesting. And so who do you think is going to be great for Connecticut again? They won the first one.
Yeah, listen, see about Thomas, but to me, you got to watch Marina Mabry. The key, can Connecticut make enough threes? That's their key. When they don't shoot well, they're in trouble.
What if they have all the best ball here in the Big Apple and in Connecticut? It's all East Coast, son. Not Minnesota, not Las Vegas. It's all in the Big Apple, son, and up in the woods in Connecticut, son, where they play all that college ball, chicks and guys. They got all that stuff going on in stores, all the racks around here, coach. Ain't no rack in Vegas. Ain't no rack in Minnesota.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High. Let's take a look at the wild card schedule. By the way, it's 1-0 Braves, and they're in the bottom of the fourth. One zip. And this guy Holmes has him eaten out of his palms. They can't get a hit. They can't do anything against him. And it's crazy to me because they're only up one. Like you would think, you know, get a couple runs and put them up against it. I want to see them losing, stressing out in like the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. I would love nothing more than to see them not make the playoffs and get swept today by the lowly Mets lineup in the second game.
Yeah, that would be such a shame if that happened to them. If that actually went down, what a shame would be. I am going to give you a schedule. I know I didn't get through all the college with you. We'll do a lot of college tomorrow. I'll save all. We'll do a look at the full top 25 because Indiana's in the top 25. So I want to make sure we don't. And Indiana went to the window for me again on Saturday. So I want to make sure that we give everybody their proper due. And we'll do that tomorrow as we start to look to this week's games in college football. Here is the schedule because tomorrow is where the playoffs officially begin. I know it felt like a playoff game this afternoon in Atlanta. So here's what we got tomorrow, Scotty. Game one, Tigers and Astros, right before we start coast to coast, 2:32 Love these times. 2:32 p.m. East is when they will start that game. Game one, and that's going to be Scooble going for Detroit and Valdez going for the Astros. Game one, Kansas City and Baltimore, 4:08 p.m. East. So also starting while we're doing Coast to Coast. We have two games on during Coast to Coast tomorrow to start the playoffs. In fact, we'll even at some point have three because either the Mets or Arizona will be in Milwaukee at 5:32 p.m. East. So towards the end of C2C is when the Brewers will get started against either the Mets or the Diamondbacks, and then either the Mets or Atlanta will be in San Diego 8:38 p.m. tomorrow night. And it's really pretty much the same. There's a couple of variations, as you see there, on Wednesday and Thursday. Obviously, Thursday's only if you get to the third game. But it should be a fun 3 days here, Scotty, with these wild card series that we will get going with.
God, I got to tell you, I'm going to take Scooble, even though Astros are as great as they are. They're in the ALCS every year. They're always the best team in the playoffs. They're unbeatable. But this guy, Scooble, is so unbelievable. It's not even funny. And not only that, I can't keep track of it, Carver High. What have they won? It's either 10 of 11 or 11 of 12. I can't, remember exactly. They've won so many games, I've lost track of it. The Tigers are on fire, and their ace is going, who just, he won everything. Wins, ERA, strikeouts, the triple crown of pitching. He's so dominant, it's not even funny. I think the Astros are going to have trouble scoring runs against him. And then in the second game you mentioned, Reagans, your boy Ronald Reagans against Burns. Burns has struggled mightily over the last month and a half. There's just no getting around it. Could the Royals steal game one at Camden? Why not?
Yeah, here's the numbers actually for you. For that series, obviously the Astros are favored for the three-game series over the Tigers. There it is, -175 plus $1.45. But if you want for Scooble tomorrow, Scotty, you're getting +126 with Scooble tomorrow afternoon for the Tigers. They are the dogs in Houston. Astros are -148 with a 6.5 total. So a nice price. And I think when we look at this series, obviously, and I know the Tigers have been red hot, but it is, I believe, an absolute must. They need Scooble to win that first game to give themselves a chance here down in Houston against a team that, as we know, has so much postseason success. They need a big-time performance from Scooble tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, so what? I guess they cooled off over the weekend, the Tigers, and lost
with
2-3 to the White Sox.
So that was after they clinched on Friday night and celebrated, they basically didn't care on Saturday and Sunday is pretty much what it came down to.
All right, well, I'm still willing to bet on Scooble. I'm willing to bet on Scooble without a doubt at that price. He's so good. Now, I know how good the Astros are, but this guy, he is a problem.
He is a problem. Reagans and Burns, as you said, in the first game in Baltimore, that's just after 4 East, -156 for Burns tomorrow, +132 for Reagans for the series. Orioles are -175. Royals are +145 for it. I don't know, Sky. Both teams sputtered in September, right? And really down the stretch. I mean, the Orioles, I guess you could say, finished a little bit stronger, taking the 2 out of 3 in the Bronx and then finishing up the Twins over the weekend. But Burns hasn't been great. I don't know if I want to lay that much with him.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Burns for tomorrow, but I think the Orioles are playing a little better, very little better than the Royals. The Royals did not play well down. They backed into the playoffs. There's no getting around it. Obviously, they have pitching. Lugo, Reagans, it goes on and on. Bobby Witt, he won the hitting crown. He's a badass. But this Baltimore team is stacked with guys that can hit. So I think the Orioles will find a way to win that series. And remember, they were there last year, and they had to have gained some valuable experience. It's been a few years for the Royals since they were there. We're not talking about 2014 and 15 going to the World Series. They went in, 17. It's been a few years since they've done it, right? So I think Baltimore's better suited for this opportunity. I think they went and failed, and now they're going, and they want to win a round at the very least. So I think they're the buy. I think the upset shot is the Tigers against the Astros. Now, no one in their right mind would take the Tigers over the Astros in a series. You know, they have played such great baseball over the last 2 months. I am not against taking them. I think that price is juicy. And I think tomorrow is juicy at plus $1.26, plus $1.45 on the series. I would die if I could see the Tigers eliminate the Astros. Because I think if they do, it opens the door for the Yankees.
I think that it does as well. I don't mind that either, going for the Tigers in this series, although the Astros always burn us. All right, when we come back, I have some other end-of-season baseball notes for you in the leftovers and a couple of other things as well before we get out of here.
All right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leftovers. Braves still up 1-0. Bottom four, two outs, two on, runners at first and second.
Indeed. Here's the rest of the baseball stuff for you. Anthony Rizzo breaks a couple bones in his fingers after being hit by a pitch over the weekend. He is not going to be around. It's considered a long shot for the ALDS next weekend. Boone's not ruling him out for the entire postseason, but that doesn't sound very promising. Paul Skeens finished off his season with two shutout innings in the Bronx on Saturday afternoon, including striking out Soto and Judge in the first. Amazing season, 11-3, 1.96 ERA, 170 strikeouts, and 133 innings pitched.
I will be
extremely annoyed if he doesn't win the NL Rookie of the Year. I will be very annoyed if I don't cash that ticket. I don't care about any of this other stuff. Tarik Skubal wins the AL Pitching Triple Crown. You mentioned that. Louis Arraez of the Padres, first player to win three consecutive batting titles with three different teams. Minnesota, Miami, and now San Diego. You win the batting title every year. How do you end up on a different team every year? The Giants today fired their president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi. Who'd they hire, Scotty? Buster Posey
will be
the new baseball president of baseball operations. How about that? Rocco Baldelli will be back in Minnesota despite their late season collapse. They were awful. Skip Schumacher will not be back in Miami with the Marlins. He's finished. The Cardinals plan on parting ways with Paul Goldschmidt. Can't blame him. He hit like a .180 this year. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game will go back to the players wearing the team uniforms in the game. I skipped this one. I'm going back. The draft lottery. The Marlins and the Rockies have the best odds of the top pick. It would take me 20 minutes to try to explain this to you, but the White Sox, despite 121 losses, are ineligible for the top pick or to be in the lottery because they moved up in the lottery the last 2 years with this dopey new system that Manfred came up with. They are picking 10th in the draft. They can't pick first. How stupid could you possibly be that a team with 121 losses can't even have one of the best picks in the draft? Basketball, the Pelicans signed Jose Alvarado, 2-year extension worth $9 million. President's Cup, the United States rallied after losing all 5 points when we left here on Friday. They smashed the international team over the weekend, 18.5 to 11.5, a win for them. Drew Doughty, month to month with an ankle fracture. What the hell is month to month? The guy's out for a real long time. See you in a few months, Drew. He's not month to month. He's out for a long time. MetLife Stadium will host the 2025 FIFA Cup World Cup Final, the Club World Cup Final. Everyone who hosts the World Cup, Scotty, does this the year before. It's kind of like a dress rehearsal, per se, for when they have the real thing the following year.
All right, very exciting. I never heard of it. Ferrella finished. Dikembe Mutombo passes away at 58 from brain cancer. Man, could that guy block shots. Chris Kristofferson passes away at 88. Everyone remembers Chris Kristofferson. A star is born. UK Navy intercepts a narco sub in the Caribbean, rocking $209 million worth of blow. Orange County teacher under investigation, accused of fathering a teenage student's child. Why could it be worse? Teacher knocks up some student and she has a baby. What is happening in Orange County? and industrial chemical is showing up in fentanyl in the U.S., troubling scientists. How about troubling hospitals and doctors and cops and ambulance workers? I mean, honestly, fentanyl is everywhere, and now it's got industrial chemicals in it. Maybe that's what's bad about it to begin with. A Michigan pastor arrested, fired, after allegedly confessing to hiding a camera in the church bathroom, praying for your sins while watching you go to the toity. Multiple Delta passengers suffer ruptured eardrums and bloody noses after pressurization issues above 10,000 feet. Did you see the people's eardrums bursting and bleeding from their noses when they got off the plane? It was unbelievable. A New Jersey coach accused of sexually assaulting teen gymnasts on a trampoline. And also, when they investigated him, they found that he'd been painting nudes of all the young students in the school. Man, he's an artist like Peyton Manning. He's out there painting young nudes of students. Florida server on life support after a head injury after striking a sandbar and then crashing into a pier. Jesus, be careful on those surfboards. On GTD is next. Go to VeronaBench.com. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Coast to Coast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.